This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air, broadcasting from the KUWS radio studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. It's 6 o'clock standard wartime on a mild Wednesday evening, April the 8th, 1942. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the latest war news, and Harriet Farrig will have the latest government-ordered dress code for women. Now the 6 o'clock Superior Water, Light, and Power Company news. Superior Water, Light, and Power doing their part in the national defense by providing cheap, dependable power to homes, industries, and business. Lou, we try to walk on the sunny side of the street, but these have to be among the darkest days of the war.
Well, I'm afraid so. You know, no one said that the battle against the dark Axis empires of Europe and the Pacific would be easy. The news from the Pacific is about as bad as we've had since December the 7th. Well, good evening, listeners. The defenders of Bataan are retreating. Outnumbered forces of American and Filipino troops are pulling back to a new defensive position as another horrific day of Japanese air strafing and land forces push these exhausted heroes beyond the limits of most men. This was the fifth day of brutal attacks by Lieutenant General Yamashita's numerically superior invasion force. A War Department bulletin says Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright's troops fell back to a previously determined defensive position. At last report, General Wainwright's forces could retreat from the bullet-strewn jungles of Bataan to the U.S.-occupied rocky fortress of Corregidor. Corregidor is located at the mouth of Manila Bay and would require a boat lift from the Bataan Peninsula of that Philippine island nation. From Allied headquarters in Australia, General Douglas MacArthur is in constant touch with the battle-stained defenders of Bataan. After heroically fighting the Japanese since the invasion on December the 10th, the battle may be in its final hours. General Yamashita is said to have almost 200,000 troops in the fight, while General Wainwright has only 20 to 30,000 soldiers at Bataan. Even as British and American embassies negotiate with India to enter the war against the Japanese, the news out of neighboring Burma is extremely grave. Japan's invasion columns are reforming to attack British troops holding out 65 miles south of the rich central Burma oil fields. The oil fields are considered crucial for Japan's ability to continue to prosecute the war in the Pacific. In the European war, U.S. Army Chief of Staff General George C. Marshall arrived in London with President Roosevelt's advisor, Henry Hooper. The pair will meet with British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Among speculations in British newspapers that the U.S. and Britain will attack mainland Europe through France to Germany's industrial underbelly. Thousands of Uncle Sam troops are already drilling in Northern Ireland for an eventual assault. Russia has been urging the Allies to open a second front, either through Norway or across the English Channel. Meanwhile, General Marshall's arrival is reminiscent of General Blackjack John Pershing in 1917 during the First World War. News out of North Africa is also bad. Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's Axis troops are launching a spring offensive. Dispatches reaching London indicate that Rommel has 125,000 troops and 30 squadrons of fighter planes, and he's 100 miles from Tobruk in the Libyan desert. This is the opening that Germany is looking for to conquer Egypt, smash through the Suez toward Russia's southern flank. If the Soviet forces must fight on yet another front, it could mean Russia's defeat at the hands of Nazi Germany. British forces in Africa have been weakened by the withdrawal of Australian troops who left to defend their homeland as the Japanese try to set up an invasion from neighboring New Guinea. Axis warplanes pounded the great British naval base of Alexandria this morning, killing 52 and wounding 80 in the heaviest raid by the Nazis this year. From Malta, masses of German bombers assaulted the British island stronghold in over 2,000 alarms in the bomb-scarred Mediterranean base since June of 1940. And this just in from the Crimea, German forces have apparently begun launching a spring offensive against Russian positions right there. And as you said, Jack, these may be among the darkest days of the war for us. And for the time being, we're going to have to persevere and know that in the end, these trials will bring victory. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company News is 6:05.
Thank you, Lou. United we stand. Everyone, the soldier, the grocer, the laborer, is working for a common cause. We are a united nation, a strong nation, with a single purpose, to win this war as quickly as possible. Your utility company is working for victory by supplying power for the shipyards, coal, and ore docks, and other defense industries in Superior. We are very proud to do our part for defense and to serve you in your homes, stores, and offices with cheap, dependable utility service 24 hours a day. That is Superior Water, Light, and Power Company of Superior.
Superior Water, Light, and Power Company News Time is 6:06. While our troops fight for the democratic way of life, voters went to the polls yesterday to elect their local representatives. Candidates supported for the new Better County Government League won 9 seats, but lost in 4 to the Democratic County Board. Two Superior incumbents, Frank Ariza and Earl Monahan, were returned to the board, but Monahan faces a recount since he beat Samuel Hatchie 72 votes to Hatchie's 71. In the rural area, the biggest upset came in the town of Highland. Supervisor L.A. Sutphin has been serving on the board since 1930. He was a leading candidate to be the new chairman of the county board, but Sut lost to Trigvi Brevig. Other winners in the rural area include incumbents R.P. Carnes of Emnicon, John Tyne of Bennett, Milford Alvin of Brule, Edwin Pearson of Cloverland, S.A. Nelson of Gordon, Alva Arnold of Hawthorne, and Ernest Lundgren of Maple. John Lake won the Lakeside Rakes, Axel Peterson, Solon Springs, George Cosgrove, the village of Solon Springs, Del Arnold, Lake Nabegaman, William Fromm, Wascott, C.O. Lindquist won Poplar, and Frank Sajak took Oliver. In the town of Superior, Joseph Kimmis defeated incumbent Sig Salveson. The voter turnout was light. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has our story.
Disappointingly light, Lou. This is unique in this city's colorful political history. 4 members of the Superior City Council were elected without opposition. Very unusual in races that have produced bitter and prolonged races in years past. Hilding Olson, A.D. Wielden, and Frank Glonick were all reelected to 2-year terms. They bore the endorsement of the Council Manager Committee, which led the battle for the Council Manager style of government. Voters changed the city government last year in 1941. Also running unopposed for Superior School Board were Dr. Charles Kelly and Conrad Herling.
Why so many unoccupied seats, Mike?
Well, the war, perhaps. Some people are so busy trying to help the war effort in their industry that they don't have time to run for office. And other potential candidates have enlisted for the military service. So whatever the case, City Clerk R.E. McKeag was able to lock up and go home by 11 o'clock last night. Can you imagine that?
I've never heard it finished so early. That's KUWS newsman Mike Simonson. Well, we're still getting the results of other elections from Upper Wisconsin, and we'll pass those results along to you just as soon as we get them. The voters in Jingles in Ashland County reelected Joseph Schaffnagel as town chairman. He defeated Walter Kemp, 276 to 185. Colonel J.L. McCrae was elected unopposed as the Iron River chairman. Citizens in Hayward voted 4-1 to let the city council spend money to advertise Hayward's recreational facilities to draw tourists. In Trade Lake in Burnett County, 88 people voted to allow the sale of liquor, while 173 voted to keep Trade Lake dry. Prohibition continues there, Jack, and the Wets also lose in Cloverland. By a slim 4-vote margin, voters decided 64-60 to not allow the sale of beer or liquor, and that means that Cloverland's Lone Tavern is now out of business.
Lickety-split, just like that, eh?
Just like that. But the South Shore is thriving, and Cloverland can probably use a hamburger stand or a lunch counter, so maybe the tavern will just shift gears.
Well, thanks, Lou. As much as we hope for good news, we know you'll be watching the wire and pass information along to us as soon as you get it.
Updates and bulletins are coming all the time, Jack. I've never seen so much activity. The keys are clacking away printing out news, but like you say, most of it is not good.
So far. This is when good old-fashioned American determination comes, friends. The weather's very nice. The abbreviated forecast for this April, the 8th, 1942, from the United States Weather Bureau, calls for another mild evening after a dandy day today. The mercury hit 45 degrees with sunshine, believe it or not, and tonight's low will be right around the freezing mark. Shucks, we know it's spring because they're reporting pussy willows in the Oakland Township today. Well, now let's swing into our music to buck us up in this time of national peril. This is Dear Mom with Sammy Kaye and his orchestra on station KUWS.
Dear Mom, dear Mom, Soldier Boy to His Mother, these words by Alan Foster.
Dear Mom, the weather today was cloudy and damp. Your package arrived but was missing a stamp. Your cake made a hit with all the boys in the camp. How they love it. And Mom, the food is okay, don't worry your head. I sleep pretty well, but I miss my old bed. And oh, how I wish they'd make this army co-ed, still I love it. If you should run into a certain you-know-who, please do this for me. Give her a kiss for me. Tell her to write me nightly, dear Mom. That's all for tonight. The bugle just blew. Tomorrow's a big day with plenty to do. I like it here, but I'm kinda homesick for you, for I love you. Dear Mom.
The encouraging sound of Swingin' Sway music by Sammy Kaye, with a vocal by Alan Foster. Well, we can do it, good listeners. It'll take work and determination, but we can help our boys overseas. Part of that effort is recycling, and that's exactly what's going on at the Superior Park Place Project. Who's doing it? Why, no one else but Cleveland Wrecking Company, who have a sales office and job site right there on the site. A gigantic wrecking project, a sensational money-saving event, good used building materials at giveaway prices. Wrecking. Over 100 buildings for Superior Park Place Project. And you've been wondering, no doubt, as you go by, what are they going to do with all that stuff? Well, friends, it's going to be offered to you at drastically reduced prices. There's glass, tanks, you're welcome, soil pipe, concrete blocks, hardwood flooring, used pipes, electric fixtures, and that's all from Cleveland Wrecking Company, job and sales office on the site. In Superior, of course, on Cummings Avenue. More music now for this Wednesday evening. Here's Easter Parade with Bing Crosby from the movie Holiday Inn on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills apart, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fella in the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the rose of gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the rose of gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
More music now. That's the music of Bing Crosby with John Scott Trotter's orchestra. Good times are good even in these war times, friends. It refreshes the body, and you'll be better for the war effort the next day. Right, Lou?
You got to get a break now and then, Jack. But for those men desiring to enlist this month, they have 1 week to fill out their applications. Local recruiter Cecil Goldberg says that after that, they'll have to wait another month. But before April the 15th, men can find themselves on their way to the area reception centers in Eau Claire. Cecil Goldberg also says that the Army Aviation Cadet Exam Board will be in Superior April the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Price Administrator Leon Henderson has set the quota for recap tires for April in Wisconsin at just over 8,800.
8,800 tires for all of Wisconsin?
Rubber is a critical material, Jack. Milwaukee County quota dropped 300 to 1,750 recap tires. In Upper Wisconsin, Ashland County gets 42, Bayfield 28, Burnett 26, Douglas County 125 tires, Iron County 29, Sawyer County 220, and Washburn County 26.
Well, I pray, Lou, that my tires will be holding up through the war. Thanks, Lou. If you get a flat, folks, fix it. That's why trains and buses are so crowded these days. Let's have a word from our friendly Superior Coca-Cola bottler. Nothing refreshes like the real thing, Coca-Cola. All it takes to get the feel of refreshment is an ice-cold bottle of Coca-Cola. Its taste has the flavor of refreshment, and it leaves you with a pleasant after-sense of being completely refreshed. Enjoy ice-cold Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. From the Coca-Cola Bottling Company in Superior on Ogden. Well, let's roll on the Martin McKenna Show with the Dipsy Doodle and Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra on station KUWS.
Like you love I and me love you. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works. The Dipsy Doodle is easy to find. It's almost always in back of your mind. You never know it until it's too late. And then you're in such a terrible state. Like the moon jumped over the cow. Hey diddle. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works. When you think that you're crazy, you're the victim of the Dipsy Doodle. But it's not your mind that's hazy. It's your tongue that's at fault, not your noodle. You better listen and try to be good, and try to do all the things that you should. The Dipsy Doodle will get you someday. You'll think you're crazy, the things that you say. Like rhythm got I and hot am I. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works.
The swinging sounds of Tommy Dorsey, his trombone and his orchestra, with the vocal by Edith Wright. I have to say, there is one thing in this world I would never want to do, and that's tell a woman what to wear. Not me. No way.
Well, it helps to have taste, you know. You need to coordinate colors.
Are you saying I don't have that quality?
Well, it's nothing personal, Jack, but for a guy who has one Argyle sock on one foot and a black sock on the other, you know, that really doesn't make a big fashion statement.
Very well. I believe it's time for Harriet now, Lou.
Yes, and maybe that's for the best. Our cultural editor, Harriet Feirig, now. Your garments always look pleasant.
My goodness, Lewis, thank you. I've always liked that fedora of yours with the press card in your band. It's so, well, you know, intellectual.
I don't get paid enough to have to hear this, you two.
Now, Jack, Lou is just kidding about your socks.
No, I'm not. Hey, look and see for yourself.
Louis, leave poor Jack alone.
I've got feelings too, you know.
Sorry, Jack, but the different socks are interesting.
Well, that's just what I had in mind, Lou. Just because everyone wears the same socks on each foot doesn't mean I can't be different.
That's right. But the War Production Board has made some rulings you ladies need to know about. It will be in effect for the duration of the war, and it's in place to save material needed for the war effort.
I understand to save material, dresses will be shorter. That's good. And shirts? Well, they can be tighter. That's good, too.
Blouses, Lewis. Yes, that's right. And no hoods, scarves, shawls, petticoats, overskirts, and aprons. No hems or belts more than 2 inches wide. For slacks, there will be no cuffs or belts at all.
No belts? Good thing this is for women. Lou, you'd be in big trouble since you don't have any hips.
I may stock up anyway, just in case.
Anyway, ladies, there are exceptions to these War Production Board rules. Of course, maternity dresses have no restrictions, nor do toddlers' clothing, burial gowns, or clothes for people of abnormal size.
Don't say anything, Jack.
No. I had no plans to offend my big friends out there. I need big friends.
That's interesting, Harriet. I guess there'll be a lot of clothes that look alike, at least for the time being.
Don't underestimate the ingenuity of the American woman. We can make do with a little imagination.
Shorter dresses. I like this War Production Board. They got some good ideas. Unless I get a flat tire. Now on with our music, friends. Here's Freddie Stack and his orchestra and Cow Cow Boogie on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Out on the plains, down your Santa Fe, I met a cowboy right in the range one day. And as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a tie, get along. Get hip, little doggies, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggies, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, yip, tie. Singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knocked out western accent. With a wild upset, he was raised on local weed. He's what you call a swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, come a tie, yip, tie. Yip, yip, singing his cowboy song. Yip, yip.
Yes, the brand new sounds of Freddie Stack and his orchestra singing by Ella Mae Morse. And I understand, Lou, that Ella Mae Morse is big with the GIs these days. Lou Martin is here with us now, folks, with these bulletins.
The news from the Philippines remains bleak, as United Press is now reporting the imminent fall of the defenders of the Bataan Peninsula. We should know more tomorrow, but the War Department now says that they have lost radio contact with General Wainwright. The situation in New Guinea remains deadlocked, although dispatches from the Allied outpost at Port Moresby report that 157 Japanese warplanes were destroyed last month in a brilliant display by Australian and U.S. troops from Timor to Rabaul. And one more bulletin, Jack. Baseball's retired home run king, Babe Ruth, is very sick. He was carried from his hotel room on a stretcher with a pneumonia jacket on.
Hang in there, Bambino. We may need the Sultan of Swat in this war effort yet. Lou will be back tomorrow with more of this vital information, and I'll be back with the music. And Harriet, well, who knows what Harriet will have up her slightly shorter sleeve. Same time, same place on your radio dial, if the good Lord's willing and the dresses don't rise too high. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna. Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farage is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.